Matthew 13:1-23.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him, he got into the boat and sat in it, while the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Through seeing, they do not see. Through hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving.' For the people's hearts become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of the world, the worries of life, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it, and he produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown."
Let's pray. Lord, as we come to your word, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds. I pray, Lord, that you would allow us to be able to hear from you, hear encouragement from you. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our eyes so that we can see, and open our ears so we can hear. I thank you, Lord, for everybody who's here. Thank you for the kids. It's lovely to see them. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be working through your spirit through all of our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We all respond differently to opportunities. So if someone says, "Let's go and get something to eat on holidays," some people will say, "Yeah, great, let's go and get a pizza." I was with someone last night who was a pizza fiend. That's all he wanted to eat, pizza, 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 pizza. He did make an exception for hot chips and gravy, but pizza was his thing. Other people say, "No, we wanted to go straight to gelato or cheesecake." That's me. Straight to gelato or cheesecake, please. I don't need anything else. Or say we're talking about some sport or a bit of exercise. Some people say, "Yeah, let's go for a walk." Other people say, "No, walk's too strenuous. Let's go for a stroll." Other people say, "No, let's go rock climbing or mountain bike riding or motorbike riding. Let's just get on with it." Sometimes when you say, "Let's relax," some people say, "Yes, let's relax. Let's go for a long walk." Or they say, "Let's do a 2,000-piece jigsaw puzzle." which I think, oh, please spare me, don't make me do that. Other people say, that's great, I'll go and change the oil on the ute. I'll relax down in the shed. We're all different, right? We're all different. This passage looks at people's different responses to what the Lord Jesus is saying, what the gospel is saying. It's a really interesting passage. I have four pieces for you: the setting, the story, the parables that are an invitation, and the meaning of the parable. That's where we're going. Verse 1, the setting. Verse 1, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Stop. That same day. Why did Matthew say that same day? I wonder what happened earlier on that day. I wonder what's been happening recently. I think we're going to have a look at that. That same day. If you've got your paper Bible open in front of you, which I would highly recommend, you'll see chapter 7 is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount. Then we get 8 and 9, which is filled with 9 stories of Jesus performing miracles, healing people, getting rid of demons, calling people, calming the storm. It's a really powerful passage, really powerful 2 chapters of Jesus in action. And then you get a couple of little pieces in there of Jesus saying to people, follow me, or people talking about following him. You get the little spot where in chapter 8, where some guy comes up to Jesus, a teacher of the law, and says, I'll follow you anywhere you want to, anywhere you go. And Jesus says back to him, well, birds have nests, foxes have holes in the ground to sleep in. Son of man, that's me, doesn't even have a place to put his pillow. You're going to be homeless. You're going to be on the road all the time. We don't hear any more of that guy. Sounds like he packs up his pillow and goes home. Another guy comes up to Jesus and says, I'll follow you, but first let me bury my dad. Daddy's doing well, of course, because if his dad had died, he would have been off looking after the funeral arrangements. Daddy's doing well, but he wanted maybe 10 or 15 years just to look after dad in his old age, and then I'll come and do whatever you need. Jesus goes, not going to work. It's not going to work. Then he comes across this guy called Matthew, and Matthew's a tax collector at his desk, and Jesus says, follow me, and Matthew goes, sure. Sure. And he gets up and follows him. So that's a beautiful spot. So we get some negative spot. You get Jesus' power. We get some rejection of Jesus. And we get some people. It's Matthew who says, sure, I'll come. Looking forward to it. We also get the spots where in chapters 9 and 12, the Pharisees get stuck into Jesus. They get stuck into him because of Sabbath rules. They get stuck into him because he's casting out demons. Jesus cast out demons, and they all fold their arms and they go, well, of course he's casting out demons. He's a friend of the devil. Do you catch the logic? He says, well, he's a friend of the devil. He's a friend of demons. So they reject Jesus. They've seen so many miracles, you couldn't poke a stick at them all. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law say, no, not interested. We're not going to follow. No, they actually decide we've got to kill him. That's what they decide. So that's part of the setting for what's happening in our story. And in the story, Jesus is by the lake. There's so many people there, he's gotten into a little boat so that the people don't tread all over him. And he says many things in parables. He says a farmer went out to sow seed. He tells eight parables, small little stories, 8 parables. First one. We're only looking at one of them. We can't look at all 8 because we're here till about 4 o'clock this afternoon, and I'm sure that would be unacceptable. Verse 4, some seed fell. So the farmer's spreading the seed. Some seed fell on the path. Birds ate it, crop failure. Some fell amongst the rocks. It grew up quickly, shallow soil. It was promising, but it withered. A bit like a crop failure where you have to re-sow, which I've heard talk about lately. No good, crop failure. Some fell amongst the thorns. Looked good for a while, but the thorns strangled it. The thorns out-competed it. No good. Then there's some good soil. Some of the seed falls into good soil. It grows and goes nuts and is really productive. It's really green. It's really beautiful. Jesus ends the story there. He ends the story there. There's no more content for the crowd. That's all they get. We're expecting him to go on and explain it straight away to the whole crowd and say, well, okay, everybody, I'll tell you the meaning of the story. But he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. Jesus, it seems, turns to his disciples and he's having a bit of a chat with the disciples and they say, Jesus, why are you only talking in parables? This material of yours, Jesus, this material, it's too complex for the people. It's too esoteric. It's just not clear enough. Can't you get your act together, Jesus, and write some decent stuff so you can explain to the people what God wants so it's clear? They're really concerned that it's not clear enough for the people. It's a bit of a brave thing to say to Jesus. See, the thing is, I grew up as part of a church, and I have cut, pasted, glued, and colored in my way through nearly every parable. Who else has done that? Fairview Pebble? You've done heaps of cutting out, gluing down, ripping paper up into small bits and gluing it all down, keep you busy while your parents are busy. And you know the stories because they've been explained to you. But to the crowd, it wasn't explained. Do you catch that? It wasn't explained. Verse 11, Jesus says, because they say to him, why are you just talking in parables only? Verse 11 is his answer. Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Wow. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. The crowd have listened to Jesus. They've heard the story, the parable, but they haven't come back to find out more. The disciples come to him and say, what does that mean? Why are you talking in parables? Jesus explains to them. Just by the very act of asking questions and coming to Jesus, they get the explanation. They get the secrets of the kingdom given to them. Jesus says in verse 12, and it works as an abundance theory. If you come to Jesus, you'll get abundance. And if you walk away, you'll lose what you have. But if you come to Jesus, you'll receive an abundance. It's really beautiful. Verse 13, Jesus says, and he picks up some Old Testament ideas that are found in Deuteronomy, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and he says, though seeing they do not see, though hearing they do not hear or understand. So these people have seen miracle after miracle after miracle, but they still haven't seen what's happening, still haven't understood what's happening. It's really sad. He goes on in verse 14. He says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. In the Isaiah prophecy, the Martin Staker Standard Version says, the people had a bad spiritual hearing, bad spiritual sight, bad spiritual hearts. They don't understand, but if they came to the Lord, he'd save them. That's basically what Isaiah says. And it's a big section from Isaiah 6 where Isaiah is given the task of talking to God's people, where it's going to be a real, really hard job, where most people are going to ignore you. It's a really tough job. These people have seen Jesus heal people, cast out demons, and the Pharisees still say, we're going to have to kill him. They don't see. They don't understand. But in verse 16, it changes tone. Verse 16 is beautiful. He says to them, says to the disciples, these ragtag bunch of tradesmen who smell like fish half the time, he says to them, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. So the people who've come to him, come back to him to talk, they're blessed because they've come to him and they're seeing and hearing. For I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. The disciples are at this incredible part of history where history's been looking forward to Jesus. Jesus comes and the disciples are there. And then after Jesus dies, rises and ascends to heaven, the church has the Holy Spirit, God living within us through the Holy Spirit, and that's where we are. But back here, the people, the disciples actually saw Jesus bodily and we're close to him physically, which we look forward to in heaven as a fulfillment of what of where our lives are going with the Lord Jesus. And he says to the disciples, you're so blessed because you've heard and you've seen and you've believed. It's wonderful. The disciples have believed. There's 12 of them. Plus, there's a bit of a crowd. And remember, later in the gospel, he sends out 72. So there's a growing group of people who believe. And he says that they're blessed. I think it's wonderful. I think it's absolutely wonderful. The parables act as an invitation. They're an opportunity for the crowd to come and ask Jesus what's going on. What do you mean? Tell us more. Maybe this is something to do with me. Maybe I have to do something. Maybe God is talking to me. And those people came and listened. Other people said, I wonder what's for lunch. Who wants to get a pizza? Oh, you want to get a hamburger? The kids want a hamburger and us our parents will get a pizza. That's the sort of level of commitment that some people had. They just walked away. And so they lost the opportunity of coming to Jesus. It's really sad. So in a way, the parable split people between people who wanted to know more and people who weren't interested. We were up at Moree a couple of months ago, and I got to do some cattle drafting, which I haven't drafted cattle for years and years. And as we were getting into the yards, my mate Simon said to me, here's your PPE, which is your personal protective equipment. And it was a piece of poly pipe, a 1 meter piece of poly pipe. So we're in there, there's four of us in there, and we're drafting the cattle. I was working my way up the fence, pushing him around, just keeping the moving. And then another time I was guarding the gate, which was like trying to not get run over by semi-trailers. And then at one stage, a steer went onto a fence, crushed it, and then kept going. So someone went and got him with a horse, and they brought the horse back in. So there's three of us on the ground, plus a guy on a horse who's just tearing around, plus all these cattle. I said, nah, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of here. So I took a few photos. But it was just interesting that we're drafting. We're trying to divide off the calves that were going to a different paddock and their mums that were going to a different paddock. Luckily, there are no bulls in there. And it was a drafting situation, separating. And that's what this parable does. It separates people between people who want to know more and people who aren't all that worried about knowing more. It's a really big issue. By coming close to the Lord Jesus and bringing our worries and our thoughts and our concerns and our interest to him, he responds to us. The Lord Jesus opens our eyes so that we can see and our ears so we can hear. By coming to Jesus, we get an incredible benefit of being close to him and growing closer to him. Please ask him your questions. Tell him the things that worry you. He wants to hear. The meaning of the parable. Well, it's an opportunity. Jesus is pictured in this as the person who's sowing seed. He's seeking. God seeks. He wants to bring people to him. He seeks. He sows seed. He sows the word so that people can come to him. God loves his people. God loves his creation, and he's trying to bring us to him. He wants us to come to him. Four soils. The path. People hear, but they don't understand. And the devil snatches it away. The rocky soil. They hear it with joy. They hear the gospel and respond with joy, but their Christian lives are shallow. They don't have the roots, the depth of trust and perseverance and seeking God. Trouble or persecution upset them. They don't have the Lord Jesus as their security and their treasure. And so they can't stick with it. The thorns, people hear, accept, but the worries and the deceitfulness of wealth sort of strangle things. The problem with money is money says, I'll look after you. I'll look after you. You'll be fine if you have me. But then money says to you, but you don't have enough of me. I'll look after you, but you need more of me. And so there's this constant thought that I'll be right because I've got plenty of money. I'll be able to solve my problems, chuck money at it. But then I think, but I don't have enough. But I need money. But I don't have enough. And it's deceitful. It wants to control us and grab us and make us trust it. That's something we have to be careful of. Because we use money. It's a great tool. It's great for getting things done. But it can't be our master. The thorns are really sad. The problem with thorns are that they choke us. Other things choke us too. Different priorities stop us serving the Lord. Different priorities take us away from what we know we want to do to serve the Lord. We know the things we want to do. We know how we want to respond to the Lord. But things in our lives grab us. We have to be careful about those things. The good soil is people who hear and understand. That word, the U word, understand, is a big deal. Because to understand means we understand how the Lord Jesus works in our lives and how we can enter his kingdom. We understand that life has joy, but it also has sad days. It has joy, but it also has hard days. We have to understand that as believers. But the good soil and the productive crop is the picture of where the Lord wants us. I think it's what the Lord has for us, to be productive people, to be productive Christians. Notice that the production is varied. We're all different. God has given us all different gifts. That's okay. We don't all have to be the same. But what we can do is we can radiate the joy of the Spirit. We can radiate God's love. We can radiate who Jesus is to us, and so people will see the Lord in us. It's terrific. It's terrific. It's a beautiful picture, and it's Jesus' picture. Jesus' story, it's Jesus' story. It's Jesus' picture of where, one picture of what the Christian life is like. To understand, it's productive, it's varied. We radiate the fruit of the Spirit. We shine Jesus to people. We used to own a block, a house years ago that had a chook yard. And we had up to, Miriam thought we should have 4 chooks. That's enough eggs for a family. I thought, what a load of rubbish. So we had about 16 chooks. And the chook yard was just bare. We used to put all the food in, all the scraps and stuff, heaps. So they had heaps of food. But we went on holidays and we had to leave the chooks. So the chooks wouldn't survive because we were on long service. So we took all the chooks and they got chook-minded with my friend Dave. So there the chooks are, and the chook yard is left by itself. We came back. The chook yard was about 5 foot tall. There were pumpkins, there were zucchinis, there were tomatoes, there were sunflowers. There was what looked like wheat and barley. All this stuff had just leapt out of the ground. It was unreal. Now, the reason is chooks have been pooing in it for 15 years. There was a dead dog buried in there, and there were about 20 dead chooks who, you know, passed their best and or passed away and had been buried in there. The ground, just the seeds just threw themselves out of the ground. They're just chung. And that's the picture that Jesus has for us of the Christian life, of the Holy Spirit working through our lives as we want to serve God, as we want to respond to God, as we want to keep coming to the Lord Jesus. I think it's beautiful. Final thoughts. Just a couple of final thoughts. We need to, just talking to us, we need to trust Jesus. Some of the soils didn't trust Jesus, didn't put Jesus first, didn't put their safety and their security in Jesus. We need to trust Jesus. On good days and bad days, we need to keep going to the Lord. Satisfy. We need to be convinced that God will satisfy our heart. If you don't think God will satisfy your heart, that God will look after you, you will struggle in the Christian life. You will struggle. You have to see that God cares for you deeply, cares for you deeply, and he will care for your heart. I want to say that the Christian life can be a productive life. That's what it is, I think, in Jesus' picture. That's what it is in Jesus' mind. It's a productive life. It's not sitting on the lounge. It's a productive life. It's a great life. And it's a life that leads to lasting joy. This is not joy for a little while, then it finishes. The Christian life is productive through, I think heaven's going to be magnificent too. Not magnificent too, magnificent. Heaven is going to be magnificent. All these things that we see a taste of now are going to be fully fulfilled. God changing our lives, fruit of the Spirit, the joy that we can have. All of that will be poured on us in heaven, and we'll be able to worship the Lord closely with sin being taken away. It's marvelous. Let me pray. Lord, we look at your word and we see our lives in it. We see your goodness, Lord, and we see your kindness. I pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer and closer to you. Help us, Lord, to always seek you. And help us, Lord, to see our satisfaction and our security in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.